Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The holiday season is off and rolling, with NFL in full stride and the NBA and NHL hitting mid-season form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info. With up-to-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, BetOnline is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports. And not just the big four. BetOnline has info available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that is played, from MMA to international soccer. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BLEAV, that's capital letters BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And we're back to the live on YouTube and all podcast platforms as well. I am today's host at Matty Double Dribbles, and I'm today joined by Alex Royd. Alex, what's up?
What's up, man? I'm good, man. Just a couple more days, brother. A couple more wake-ups, and you know, we all gonna be together in Oklahoma City, man.
This is very likely, actually, I think it is. This is the last podcast that we're definitely doing live, but I think the podcast, the last podcast we're going to do that's posted, that is not in some way, shape, or form, everybody being recorded locally. So
we may do a post gamer tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see. Depends on how the game goes.
Yeah, we'll see how the game goes. If it's a thriller, we'll call an audible. But the plan is right now to do one Thursday after the Trailblazers, and then Saturday after our meetup. Saturday, it's so close. We are finally here. I don't know if there's any tickets left. I know there's a couple people that are selling them because they had obligations now and they have to give them up. But if you can find one, you can find one, hopefully, and you can join us. So we'll talk about that towards the end of the pod too. But Alex, we've got a game to talk about. The Thunder finally stops the skid. They stopped the two-game skid. It was unbearable. A barn burner, to say the least. 136-128. It was against the Wizards. So, I mean, a win is a win, but you kind of expect when you're going against a team with what, if it wasn't for the Detroit Pistons having the worst season in NBA history, worst losing streak in NBA history, they'd probably be the worst team in the NBA right now. Yeah. So the fact that it was only an eight point win tonight was not great, but we'll take it.
Yeah, definitely. Like it felt a little bit icky because it was just an 8 point win, but with that said, this felt like one of those games where the Thunder went into it knowing they were the superior team, knowing they were the more talented team, and knowing that the biggest flaw that the Wizards had was the fact that their defense was putrid. And so yes, they went into this game knowing that they can get basically anything they wanted once they got into the paint, and they did. It turned into the Jalen Williams, a.k.a. Magic Johnson show. And Aaron Wiggins was his James Worthy and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because, you know, every Aaron Wiggins pass, I mean, every Jalen Williams pass went to Aaron Wiggins, basically, especially in the second quarter. But yeah, man, it was just one of those games where the Thunder knew they were better than this team. The Thunder knew that all they had to do was play good enough offense. They didn't have to necessarily stress themselves out on defense. And, you know, the winning measure is what you got. You know, you get an 8-point victory. You get a victory where the Thunder never really felt like that, like the game could get away from them. They did have a couple points, especially near the end of the third quarter, where I believe the Wizards got within four. But, you know, a timeout, a couple baskets by the Thunder, and they're back up by 10. And it's, you know, it's basically a comfortable margin. So it was just one of those games where we knew we were better. And it would have taken like the Wizards doing something crazy on the offensive end for them to come out victorious.
Yeah. I mean, you said their defense is atrocious, and it is, but I really do think we slacking on defense is definitely putting it in a nicer way. Cause I did not like the defensive performance from that game. I mean, it obviously shows up on the final score. If you give up 120 plus points, it's not great. And I checked today their defensive rating. They're now kind of like in the middle of the pack, like 113 or something like that. So they've definitely over the last three games kind of lost that defensive mindset that we've kind of grown accustomed to the last three games. Before we kind of talking about single large items and specific players, the last thing I wanted to mention on my end was I was curious because when I was watching the game, the eyeball test to me was the Wizards are getting a lot of easy transition buckets. Like there was a lot of times in the very beginning, then especially like the first few possessions, Dagnall called a timeout to kind of try to stop that. But I felt like it kept happening throughout the game. I went and checked though, and their transition offense was pretty average. So I guess I was maybe seeing things, but I just wanted to, that was sort of one of those things I remember thinking after the game was just, man, yeah, they gave up a lot of shots from outside. I think they were, where is it? They were 14 of 31 from three. So, I mean, gave up a lot of those outside shots, but I definitely felt like the transition plays, not necessarily off of a steal or rebound, but even after a made Thunder bucket, they're just inbound the ball and the Jets would be on. And the defense kind of was just sort of lackadaisical.
I mean, the eye test is correct. The eye test is correct because the Wizards are second in the league in pace.
They are. And I mean, that's what I looked up too. They're like one of the top offenses in transition in every single category. Mm-hmm. But then if you look at their transition stats for this game, on the season, their points per 100 possessions in transition is 137.5. It's either first or second in the league, one of the best. They knew that coming in. They talked about it pregame. But when you look at just this game, their points per 100 possessions was exactly 100, which is pretty below average. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting because it was just like that didn't pass the eye test to me. That specific game didn't. Even though the season stats show it, that one game was...
Yeah, we actually beat them in fast break points 21-10.
Yeah, it's just startling. It's just like that's not what I saw. So that's just something I wanted to mention because it to the eyeballs, my untrained eyeballs, I was like, we're giving up a lot of fast break points. Mm-hmm. But like you said, we were plus 11. So but yeah, defense wasn't great, but like you said, the offense kind of just did their thing and kept
I wouldn't worry too much. Like it was a win. It's one of those wins that, you know, at the end of the season. Whenever we look at the 50 plus wins that we have, it's going to be unremarkable. Like we're not going to remember this game for anything. But it's a win, you know, and we bank it in the win column. We're 2-2 in January. And so, you know, we got a lot of, we got a rough road coming up ahead of us, man, not necessarily the opponents. But we got two runs of five games and seven nights coming up in this month alone. Like literally, you know, these next couple games are going to be 5-7. Then I think we have like 5 or 6 days where like we play two or three games, and then we hit another 5-7 stretch there, man. That's regardless of how young your team is, that is tiring, and that is a very tiring stretch right there.
It's going to be brutal. We've talked about it a couple times. I mean, we talked about it a lot coming into January that this month would be pretty bad just for, you know, endurance purposes. So, but we can talk about that in a minute, but let's get to our single large item of this game against the Washington Wizards. Alex, I will start with you there. The big three showed up tonight.
They did
yesterday evening. So you have those to choose from. Will you go single large item? Will you go the other big three? Will you go elsewhere? It's up to you. Who do you want?
Man, I'm going to go Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren was amazing in this game offensively. Defensively, he was good too. There's Washington's offense is, it's like you said, transition heavy, and it is 3-point shooting heavy. So there wasn't too many opportunities for Chet to necessarily display his acumen, you know, on the interior, but he still went out there and had 2 blocks and, you know, played very good defensively. But offensively is where he shined in this game. You know, there was a point there where he was 4-4 from three. After his fourth three, he almost did the Michael Jordan shrug, basically, where he was basically licking out and saying, like, why are you guys not guarding me?
Just the most, I've never seen someone so insulted.
Exactly. Make a 3-point play. That's the best way to describe it. Like, he was just insulted that nobody was still guarding him after he had hit 3 of 3 before that, and now 4 of 4 after that one. He was 11 of 14, 5 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 31 points. And then Dylan did say he would release the video after he had a 30-point game, and then boom. Mm. You know, he was going to release it anyways, but thank you, Chet, for having a 30-point game just to go ahead and solidify it. He did great. He had, you know, I wish he had more rebounds. He only had 4 rebounds, but he did have 5 assists. But other than that, man, real good job. You know, this is just a glimpse at what he can do offensively on a night like tonight. Washington is horrible defensively, man. They literally do not know what the hell they're doing out there. I don't know who their coach is. I think it's a son of somebody.
Yeah, it's a junior.
The personnel. It probably is a personnel when you're talking about Kuzma and you're talking about Poole, but defensively that team is horrible. They could not do anything out there to stop anything. You and I could have probably scored a couple points out there.
Maybe. We'll see. We're playing on Friday with a couple of Thunder media, and I think Alex, you will be sorely wrong in that take you just made, especially for me. I will not be playing very well in that game.
What happened the first, like, you got hit in the balls first?
I landed on my arm
near your wrist.
It was a slight fracture I found out on my wrist, so I couldn't grab the ball in my dominant hand, and then Dylan threw a ball directly into my nuts like 5 seconds before we tipped, so it was pretty it was pretty great. I had a good time.
Got to keep your head on hopefully. Swivel, man. Got to keep your head on swivel.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I did want to mention, but before I kind of talk about this game with Chet, the peek inside the curtains, Dylan and I were going to post on the YouTube, and we set it up to go live like hours before the game. So we had no idea what was going to happen. We were just like, well, kind of hope Chet's just going to play well. And if he doesn't, that's going to kind of suck. And yeah, like you said, he had one of his best offensive performances. Wasn't his career high, but pretty close.
Career high was what, 36, also, I think?
36, yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to say shout out to Dylan in that video. If you have not seen it, it's on our YouTube right now. After you finish watching this live stream, please go watch that. Give it a like, comment, subscribe. Do that on this video too, but also on that music video. He put a lot of work into it. It's been like several weeks, maybe even a month in the making. So the last thing though I wanted to say about Chet, he loves the top of the key threes. I feel like the only time he makes a corner three is when he's like
wide open.
Well, Alex, I was going to say when he's shooting the game tying three to go to overtime
against the Golden
State. And I don't know. Yeah, maybe hypothetically, like the Golden State Warriors. I feel like that's the only time he really does it. Other than that, though, he's just like, he's got that sweet spot up there. And he was, all 4 of his 3s tonight were from somewhere along the top of the key. I don't think
it's basically the only three that he doesn't hesitate on. Like usually hesitates on the elbow threes. That from the top. He doesn't ever hesitate on that one. He takes that one cleanly.
Yeah, he's comfortable from up there. So, yeah, it was a great performance. It's against the Wizards, so, like, you can't really take much out of it. They're garbage. Shout out Jordan Poole, just one of the worst players I've ever seen in my life. He had a stretch there where it was, like, he had one where he took, like, the most, what's the word? I'm blanking. Like, heat check. three I've ever seen. It was like, 2 seconds into the shot clock, and it's basically from half court, never had a chance of going in. But then there was another stretch late where it was like getting to that point where it was still in the like goat wavering between 5 and 10, 5 and 10. And then Jordan Poole just had the most insane stretch I've ever seen, where he like, he just took the worst shot of his life. And then he just decided he wasn't going to defend. Hey, Dylan, shout out Dylan. He's in the,
shout out
in
Dylan.
The chat. But just, I don't remember the exact sequence. I guess I could go look it up, but Jordan Poole was just garbage in this game. I don't even know.
The worst thing for his career is getting traded away from the Golden State Warriors. Like, I think
he could have just hidden there and been exactly. Like, okay.
Yeah, he could just hidden there and been like, oh my God, the six-man gem that the Golden State Warriors have. But now, like, he's completely exposed as to what he is. Like, he's just a volume, inefficient, goofball player that is horrible, horrible defensively and will make your team worse. He's going to be a great player on a rebuilding team.
That's what I was about to say. I would say he is, if this was the Thunder from, like, 2020, 2021, when we were in those horrible lineups, Jordan Poole would be amazing because he's so much fun to watch because just from like a purely like making points standpoint, from like a very basic, like just, I like to see scoring. He's awesome, but nothing else is good. And he makes your team bad. So
yeah
I was going to say the exact
same. Which I mean, which that means that he's going to stay on the Wizards for at least 3 more years.
Yeah.
Cause that team needs to be bad here for a couple years.
They're getting some draft picks, some good ones for sure. But yeah, Chet was great. I'm gonna leave Shea off the table today because I think, you know, just like any player,
scoring 30 points per game is podcast, so boring.
It's just so boring. It's just, and to be honest, I had him at 33 and a half points over, and he only scored 32. So you know what?
Him scoring 30 points is just basic. He's
only three steals. Like, whatever. Anyway, I'm going to go with J-Dub. And I meant to pull this up before stream, but Derek Parker, friend of the pod, I believe.
D-Park, okay.
He had a great tweet. It was J-Dub's last few games in the fourth quarter, because, my goodness, it is insane how often he dominates the fourth quarter. I don't know if I'm going to find it in the time I am talking. Bye, Dylan. I'm probably not going to. So
yeah, he had a tweet that had like the last five games, what he's done.
It was the last five games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of them were like highly efficient. It was like 6 for 9 and like 10 points, 11 points, 12 points. So yeah, 6 for 9. But again, J-Dub today did the same thing. It was on a very mild triple double watch too, I will say. It never really got there, but it was close. We were literally
when
the fourth quarter,
when I was hoping for the rebounds, that's when like every shot was going in. Like literally every shot was either a 3-pointer that went in or a layup.
Yeah, I think he started the fourth with 6 rebounds and he ended up with 7. I think that's what he started the fourth with. So it had the potential, but he didn't quite get there, but yeah, really efficient. 9 of 13, 1 of 1 from deep, 2 of 2 from the field, 21 points. But I mean, it, like I said, the impact is the fourth quarter. We don't really truly appreciate how quickly, Dagnall figured that out. Like how quickly it was like, okay, Chet and Shea are going to be off the floor. Our main two guys, let's just plug in J-Dub. And he just, he just figures it out in the right moment every single time. It's truly remarkable. I know we appreciate it, but I still don't think we appreciate it enough. Jalen Williams, great game. I do also want to mention, because I was actually looking at some, I was going through some advanced stats, Dylan, or not Dylan, Alex, sorry. I was going through some advanced stats.
Alex,
I'm thinking about multiple things right now. I was going through some advanced stats for some other things I was going to talk about maybe, but the one thing I was looking at is like rim protection. And so one of the things you can look up is like on NBA.com, there's like the percentage difference between the percentage an opponent makes a shot at the rim versus the guy you're looking at versus his normal percentage from that distance. So, and then it's like the lower it is in terms of how much lower the your person is compared to the average, the better that defender is hypothetically. You want like a more negative difference in that percentage, if that makes any sense.
This is where like your chemistry background versus my biology background, we clash. You're saying all this. And like in your head, in your beautiful mind.
Okay, let me.
Oh yeah, I get this. And like,
Let me try it again. I'll give you a hypothetical. So,
okay.
Let's say that the average defender shoots 60% from the rim, but let's pick Jalen Williams. And Jalen Williams, when he's guarding that defender, only gives up 45%. That's that difference is what this stat is looking at. Like how much lower
is this a defensive stat?
Yes, it's a defensive stat. That's what I was going to bring up, because I was looking up defensive stats for other reasons. I was kind of seeing like, because I've been thinking this is something we can talk about with the trade talks if we want to later. But during that fourth quarter, I was like, we really need some rim protection when Chet's not on the floor. So that's what I was looking up to see what was out there with trade possibilities. But when I was looking at that, Jalen Williams was showing up in a lot of these stats where he's right on line in the stat that I just explained with like some of the best rim protectors. Mm-hmm. It was like Rudy Gobert. It was Jalen McDaniels. It was Wimby. It was like these guys that we know are like bona fide, very good rim protectors. And
guys with huge wingspans.
Huge wingspans. And he's right up there with them. I looked it up for both. I think on NBA.com, you can look it up for shots inside 6 feet and shots inside 10 feet. And within 10 feet, he is like top 10 in the lowest or the largest decrease in that percent difference. And he's like top 15 in less than 6 feet. So
makes sense. Cause he's guarding more perimeter oriented players. And so when they drive in, he's able to, you know, use his length against them. And then if they get closer, or if he has like a weak side block that he can get, I can see that.
Yeah. And I think that's probably exactly what it is, because he's not guarding like the big boys. But the point is, like, I just wanted to, because I was looking that up, I did want to shout it out. He did have a couple steals tonight. So defensively he was out there. The last thing I was just going to mention was with the big three. This was, I think Schlecht said it, but it's from Thunder PRs. The fifth time this season, those three guys, Jalen, Shea and Chet, have all scored 20 plus points. Nice. So some good stuff from the offense today.
Yeah, this was prime connective tissue Jalen Williams. Like this is what you want to see. You know, the problem is there's one ball. You know, that's always been the issue when it comes to a team that has multiple, you know, good to great players on it. The problem is there's only one ball out there on the court. And so how you share the ball, how you share the load, kind of plays into, number one, you know, how effective the team is, but number two, in the long run, how long they could stay together. You know, because if you have a player that is just too good for the amount of touches that he's getting on that team, he may have to go to another team if he wants to, you know, reach his ultimate potential. You know, we've already seen that already in Thunder lore when it came to James Harden, you know, when it came to, you know, that type of situation. And so the good thing about this is that in that fourth quarter, like, Jalen Williams is allowed to like completely cook. Like, the beautiful thing about it is in the fourth quarter, he does not back down from the moment, you know, whether the team is in a deficit or whether they are up and let's say the other team is coming back. Like, once we take that timeout, once we get that defensive stop, whatever, he does a great job of like being calm, being collective, going down and making the right decision on the offensive end of the floor every time. And it's just something that's very beautiful to see, like, you know, developing in his game, because again, as we move forward in this season, as we hopefully move forward into the playoffs, into the postseason, that's going to be something that's going to creep up, because you're going to get into tight games. You're going to get into games where you need that push at the beginning of the fourth quarter to either stabilize you or to go ahead and to give you momentum for when Chet and SGA get into the game. And so, you know, he's been developing that beautifully, and I hope that continues to develop as we move on.
Yeah, I kind of skirted over it when they was talking about the triple-double, but like 10 assists is nothing to like,
no,
you know, that's kind of going with what you're saying, like the connective tissue aspect. The other thing, yeah, like he demonstrated his ability to like get after it and go after it, attack the paint tonight. He's a very good three-point shooter, as we all know, but he really didn't have to do that today because of how efficient he was at the rim, at the, like, I don't think he even took any mid-ranges that I can remember. It was all in the paint at the rim. So he was getting what he wanted to when he drove today. Kind of that bully heart, if you want to call it that. So yeah, very good game from Jalen. Bully ball. Yeah, we'll call it that. Yeah, so the big three did a great job. I also just, you know, Isaiah Joe had a really great game. I want to get like a moon ball shirt for Isaiah Joe. Yeah, I love that.
That'd be nice.
I love that kind of, I love tweeting that. Whenever
that thing scrapes the Jumbotron.
It goes off the screen every time, and I love it every single time. He was 4-7 tonight from deep, with 16 points total, 6-10. His shot's back. He's been doing a great job recently. He had a little bit of a slump there, middle December, late December.
What shooters do? Shooters shoot.
Shooters shoot. He's always going to shoot. We love him. So yeah, shout out Isaiah Joe. Alex, was there anyone else you wanted to mention?
I don't want to just, you know, gloss over Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, I was just kind of doing
Listen, Alex, he only scored 32 points, and I had him over 33 and a half. So
I don't gamble. So, like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, you gambling degenerates that we have on this podcast, you know, but man, another great game. Again, like, this is one of those things where, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, when, you know, describing the game, they knew that they can get whatever they wanted out there offensively. And so Shai was no different. You know, 11 of 17, 2 of 3 from 3, 8 of 10 from the free throw line. What is going on with the freaking free throws?
I don't 32 know.
Point. Yeah.
Just it's, over, it's just like, I'm just kind of like, it's been a few games where this has happened. I'm not yet in panic mode yet, but I know.
Was the 18 of 25 over the last couple games? Like, bro, hey, Dios mío. You know, but yeah, 32 points. You know, six rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. Vintage SGA game. Again, becoming way too normalized, becoming way too like, 30, whatever. Like, I need myself, all of us on the podcast, Thunder fandom, I need you not to look at this and be like, oh, this is normal. This happens on every team. They always have one guy that scores 30 points. No, this is very rare. As far as having a player that does this consistently night in and night out. And so even though it can get like, 30 points again, like even though it can get to that point, you know, we just have to relish and we just have to go ahead and, you know, just enjoy what we're watching, because we are watching greatness and we are hopefully watching the beginning of greatness, because he's, you know, he had a great season last year. He's having a great season this year, and he's having even a better season this year. This may be the run of like a couple of years of like, yo, this is amazing basketball. This is not, you know, this is not like, oh, this happens every 2 or 3 seasons with somebody that just comes up. This guy is very efficient. You know, he is, you know, doing this as the focal point of the team. Like, defenses are completely keying in on him, and he's still doing this. And so we may be watching one of the greats. And so to kind of like just be like, 30 points, whatever. You know, we've seen that before. It's just kind of like we have to appreciate it better, I guess, as a fandom, as a, you know, me individually, us as a podcast, but like we really have to like appreciate this a little bit more.
I feel that. Yeah. I think Dylan mentioned this, but I'll also say it. The 3-point shooting improvements just in the last like week, or not week, but like 7 games from Shai have been very promising, because he was at like 28 or 29% before that time. I looked up like kind of a month by month just to see where he was at, and I was pretty surprised. Like, he was at about 35% from three until about, like, I think I want to say mid November, maybe a little bit later than that. And then he just went on like a horrible slump for the next month and a half, went all the way down to 29%. And now over the these last 7 games, he's back up to 35%. And I think Dylan has the stat on his Twitter where a couple of days ago, but he's shooting over this 5 to 6 game stretch, like almost 60% from three. It's just remarkable. Yeah, exactly. We're expecting that from Shai moving forward.
We're going to be okay
with 30-point games and expect him to shoot 55%.
Yeah, it's about as sustainable as when I got on here like a month ago and I was like, oh, yeah, Isaiah Joe shooting 70% from three. Yeah, it feels like it's sustainable. Yeah.
We were like, this dude's Steph Curry. Like, what? Yeah, it's been a great stretch. So it's definitely like helped average out that bad slump. Exactly. So hopefully he kind of like stabilizes into this kind of mid-30s range. I'd be happy with that. But yeah, we definitely overlook the 30-point games. I think at some point when you do this on a podcast and Shai's the guy every time on the single large item, you just want to mix it up. So
it's hard to talk about it all the time.
You kind of want to mix up the content a little bit. You're right. We gotta.
It's greatness we're watching.
Yeah. I also I don't know if you saw this on Twitter that because Embiid may not have enough games, he may not be qualified for MVP. So now I'm kind of angling for that now for Shai. It's like don't let Joel get it because he's obviously like had a great season. Yeah. Just let Joel get below the game threshold and we might have a chance.
Like, I wonder if there's caveats to that, like, because, you know, we've seen players before check in for a game or like be there for the jump ball, have somebody foul, and then they get out of the game. So I wonder if there's caveats to that, like, because hell, you could play 82 games if you did that. Oh, he's out there in a cast. Oh yeah, but he was out there when the ball tipped, so he played for 0.5 seconds.
Yeah, that actually could happen. Like if it's like the last five games of the season and he needs five games, he just does that for every game. And
yeah.
Well, I guess no, that would technically lower your, like, I mean, it would kind of, your stats would get, you know,
maybe diluted a little true, bit
because you're playing a game, you're scoring no points. It's your PPGs go down. So, but yeah, I don't know if I feel like Joel is a guy that would do that though, to be honest. Like that seems like kind of right up his alley.
Troel Embiid.
Yeah. But I just saw that today. I'm like, oh, well, maybe Shai MVP, kind of a real thing now. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, great game for me.
My last thing on this game is that this is the only team that is worse than us in the rebounding department, and we beat them by two rebounds in this game. So
yes.
Hell yeah.
Hey, like we said at the beginning, a win's a win. We'll take all the dubs.
Yep.
We'll take all the dubs.
Take all the dubs.
All right.
All
the dubs against the dubs. So we have a couple games tomorrow, Thursday, Saturday. We'll be at two of them. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Shout out Tyler. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
Portland Trailblazers. Well, we played Miami.
Miami. Yes, Miami. So Jimmy Butler is already ruled out. Kyle Lowry is doubtful. Shout out Eric Spoelstra. He just got a contract extension like an hour before we.
So there's this comedian. This is comedian named Afion Crockett. I don't know if you know who he is.
I do not.
I think he does like Wildin' Out, you know, with Nick Cannon and all that, or he's done it before in the past with him. But like, if you ever go to his Facebook, he does Spoelstra impersonations that are hilarious. Hilarious. Afion Crockett. If you're listening, go look it up. You will laugh, you know, for a while looking at that.
I will have to look that up because I don't think I've heard of him. But yeah, Eric Spoelstra, probably well deserved, if I would say so myself, on that contract extension. Who knows? Who knows if that's going to have an impact on the game? Maybe he's all fired up for that new money, 120 mils he just got. Regardless,
here's the thing: like that extension has absolutely nothing to do with the LeBron Heedle era. This is the Jimmy Butler, him guiding this team to two finals appearances.
Oh yeah,
with Jimmy Butler as your main player. Like, I'm sorry, I love Jimmy Butler. I think he's a great player. He's not what you would typically kind of put as like alpha number one MVP candidate type player. Like, he's just he's just a dog, and he's led that team, willed that team into two finals appearances over the last 3 or 4 years.
I definitely was tongue in cheek about that contract. He definitely deserves it. Like, he is one of the best coaches of all time. With just from, you know, those two NBA finals. But yeah, we play them on tomorrow. Like I said, no Jimmy, maybe no Lowry. So I don't know where they are in the standings, actually. I probably should have that up if I'm being honest.
I think they're like fourth or fifth in the East.
Okay.
Like there's like five or six teams that are like 21 and 15 in the East. Like literally there's like a jam.
There is a lot.
Like
yeah.
4-8, 4-9. That's like they all have the same record.
Yeah. So they're 21 and 15, 6-4 in their last 10. That's in Miami. Yeah. So they're 10-6 at home. Kind of right in that pack of mid teams in the East. I feel like that's a win. The defense definitely has to get better, but yeah. You know, if that can tighten up and we can have, you know, close to the same level of offense, I don't see how we don't come out of that with a W and fly back to Oklahoma City and just beat the living hell out of Portland.
If it's going to be a lot more physical of a game than we've had over the past couple of games.
That's true.
And it's going to be one of those games where, like, if you don't have your shit together, Miami will run you.
Yeah. I mean, they're well coached. Mm-hmm. Like we just talked about them for like a long time. So you have to be on your best game. It's definitely going to be a physical one. I'm repeating what you're saying. I'm sorry, but Bam's going to be.
It's a good point.
It's a great point. Yeah. Bam is going to be a problem for Chet, I'm sure, and whoever's driving. I'm actually interested to see if they're going to match how they feel like. Have we played the Heat this year? I feel like we haven't. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if they'll match him up with Chet or if they'll match him up with Jaylen. Or maybe even Shea. I don't know who they match that up. I just said the three best guys on the team. So
who you talking about?
Give an answer.
You talking about Bam out of Bayern?
For Bam, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He'll be matched up with Chet.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just thinking maybe they'd switch it up. But Chet, that's going to be
interesting. Like, they don't run like a small lineup. Like, I think it's him and like Kevin Love, maybe, or.
I have no idea. I haven't watched a single Miami Heat game.
I'll be honest. Here's the thing. Love Jimmy Butler. Love Eric Spoelstra. Hate watching that team play. Like they remind me of like the Knicks from the 90s, where like it's just like bully ball and like it's not beautiful offense. It's just like it's a hard game to watch with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly don't have an opinion because I have not watched any of it. I am more of a I'll say this till the day I die. I'm a Thunder fan, not an NBA fan. I'm trying to be an NBA fan, but I kind of just watch the Thunder. So I'll watch them on Wednesday, though, and we'll see how it goes.
Tell you what, man, until I start making enough money on this podcast to watch NBA all day, I'll do it then. But I can't do it now. So.
I'm right with you, brother. I'm right with you. That's on Wednesday. If we don't podcast that game, we'll have another game Thursday that we are all going to. We will most definitely beat that team by 25. If we don't, I don't know how that's really a good thing, but I'm just going to trust that we win by a lot for that game. And then Saturday, we're going to be together. Like we said at the beginning, it's our meetup. It's finally here.
It's Orlando, Paolo, man. Paolo is, he's putting Paolo together a run there, man.
Paolo versus Chet. We've got, is Jalen Suggs still having a good game or season? He was.
Yeah, man. Suggs is you know, fastly becoming one of the better defensive guards in this league.
I'd love to see Suggs on Shea. That'd be a fun matchup.
It might happen.
Cole Anthony, UNC legends just love to go off. Go.
That's your boy.
Paycom. Kobe White did it when I last was in the arena. So, you know, he might come out and do that. Hopefully not to the point where we lose, but I'd still love a good game from him. That's going to be on Saturday. So if you are on Twitter, follow us at OKC Topic Thunder, but also let us know if you're not already in our group chat, because that's where we're kind of coordinating everything for before the game. We're going to be at the parlor.
Buy a ticket if you don't have one yet.
I mean, even if you don't have a ticket or if you can't buy a ticket at this point, because they may be gone at this point, you can still go to the parlor with us. We're going to have some fun stuff going there, some prizes, giveaways,
what's up to
foods
us.
And drinks. Yeah.
Put your, my name is sticker with your at.
We'll have a record number of Alex's, which is huge.
We're going to do a huge like Spider-Man meme. We're all pointing at each other.
Yes, I love it. So that's coming up. So if we do not pod, well, actually, we'll pod on Thursday. But yeah, just anyway, we'll go check that out on our Twitter.
Yeah.
Please like and subscribe this video. Not subscribe. I'm not good with YouTube. Please like the video and subscribe to our channel. And leave a comment down below.
And hit the notification bell so you can get a notification anytime we pop up.
There's so many things you got to do on YouTube, man. It's crazy. But yeah, thank you for watching till the end. If you're still listening.
Yep.
Hoop when you can.
Trade deadline is a month away.
Yeah, we didn't really get to it. We kind of ran out of time. I wanted to be kind of a shorter stream, but we can talk about it. We'll talk about it on Saturday. We'll be together. Maybe mention it. We'll get there. But anyway, thank you for listening. Hoop when you can. And as always,
Thunder up. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.